Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back once again. That open courtesy of FanDuel Sports Network and Jax Gregory on the board. Yes, we've got Jake Murren, man in the 92.3 The Fan YouTube channel. Don't forget to do a little like there. We like to be liked. And also doing the producing today, we got Katie Pollock on the 2020s. But across from me, as always, the man himself, the living legend. I guess.
I didn't like that
as I said it.
It felt like a lot. Well, you could have let it go, I guess.
It just felt condescending.
I would have then had to be like, no, Nick, that's a dumb thing to say.
Yeah, please, no more.
Please, please.
And then I'd have to be like, JP, you are a legend.
And then we would have done the song and dance here, and that's just not, that. Nobody needs that.
Yeah, we don't need to be Midwest nice to start the show. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing really well. Yeah. Yeah. Had a bittersweet morning.
Good.
So a bittersweet moment this morning that has left me reeling all day. My littles were getting on the bus, and my littles are not little anymore, right? And they were getting on the bus, and they were just being like goofy kind of like 12 to 13 year old kids.
Yeah.
And I had this come to Jesus moment where I was like, my babies aren't babies anymore.
Yeah.
And the rest of the day, my existential crisis right here. Just dealing with it all day.
Okay.
Just been a mopey bee all day. By the way, the oldest kid's off school today. She got an extra $50 worth of stuff from Target just because I was feeling and I was in my emotions. And she's like, Dad, can I have this? And I was like, you're darn right you can.
Yeah.
YOLO kid.
Would you get like some Mr. Beast bars?
No. My kid's not a jerk. just kidding. Those are incredibly popular. I'm mansplaining that to parents out there who have to buy Mr. Beast bars and be like, why am I feeding into this monster? But no. There was a Jeff Buckley album, which I was like, I think kids got good musical taste. And then there was a lot of lighting. Kids really liked the strip lighting.
Okay.
And I didn't like the way that came out. The little strips of LED lights is what I meant to say.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Your kids don't have like a Spotify account you guys all share? When does that happen?
We do, but yeah. No, we all have a Spotify, but we've got like a record set up there as well. So.
Oh, yeah. Your kids are way more blessed than my kids are going to be.
Oh, see, but you're not, I don't want to say you're not a big music person.
I'm just a big music guy. I'm just not your type of music guy.
No. What I mean is like, music's always playing in the house in one form or fashion.
No, you get a Spotify account. That'll be the music that you play, probably.
Yeah.
Like, or you turn on the radio the old-fashioned way and wait for your song to play.
Somebody's got, they still do that? Of course they do. We love our friends in music radio. But no. So it was very cool. Bittersweet. Definitely, if there's another like story. Yesterday, we obviously had the Bernie story and the Bryce Dunlop story. I will be honest with you. Not emotionally equipped to handle those kind of stories today.
Okay, well, let's not do that then. Let's get right after it.
Yeah, let's do it. I will say the amount of people who've asked me, "You excited to see Shador?" It's very much up. Yeah, a lot of people talking about the excitement factor on Sunday night.
How do you not have excitement? You know, like that's kind of the...
You hate Shador.
Is that it? But even those people have to have excitement. Like
no.
I feel like Lima, who seems like he... I'm not going to say hate Shador because that seems pretty strong, but like Lima
maybe
seems...
Maybe hates Shador's older brother.
He's just a little skeptical, maybe we'll put it that way. But even he seemed like he was excited to at least see what Shador can do. I don't know. There's excitement here. There is excitement. Dylan Gabriel brought zero excitement. There's something here.
I think I will tell you, there is most of the personal conversations I've had with people have gone something like this. I don't know if it's going to be good.
Yes.
I don't know if it's going to be bad. Correct. But I do know that it's going to be incredibly entertaining.
We're flying
blind. And that's a step in the right direction.
We're flying blind, but at least we got... We forget the idea of sports. The idea of sports at the heart of it is make me a bicycle clown, entertain me, get me something fun, give me something to enjoy my Sundays with. And I feel like in the past couple years, we've just dealt with so much bad, so much ugly, so much suck that we've kind of lost the focus of what these things are actually supposed to be about, which is the heart of it, which is just am I enjoying my 3 hours on Sunday? And so this might stink on Sunday. I'm not sure. I tend to think it's going to go better than most people. No shock to anybody that's listening, but it's going to be fun. For 3 hours, it's going to be fun. And I, for a Browns fan that has been through the year and a half now that we've been through, I don't know why a Browns fan would be upset by that.
Yeah, I mean, I think my bare minimum expectations are be as good as Dylan Gabriel has been. So give me a 30 QBR rating or better. And make some plays. It's the make me a bicycle clown conversation we've had a million times. I don't think that's all that high of a bar for a kid that honestly had probably four nice plays on Sunday and probably, what would you say, eight not nice plays or generally outrageously bad plays.
And like everyone watched the Raiders game last night. They absolutely stink. So like there should be the expectation there. In fact, I expect the conversation after this game, Nick, not to be that Shador had the world's greatest game or anything like that. But after watching the Raiders last night and how bad they looked, I know I'm not supposed to take these things for granted, but how do you not think to yourself the conversation afterwards will be the people that always complain like you're messing up the draft picks? That's going to be the convo. The people will be like, oh no, they weren't supposed to win this game. You're ruining our draft position. That is what I expect the convo to be.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, we're still to the point where, and I understand that the draft pick conversation will come. You were spot on that. Where we are right now is, I know nobody, like, we 9367 on the YouTube chat saying 92-3, the Shaduki. He's the starting quarterback on Sunday, brah.
Well, that's another thing we got to get to as well. All the people, listen, there are times where it feels like we talk a lot about Shador. Okay, fine. Guilty as charged, whatever. But, like, he's the starting quarterback this week, and he has not yet started in a game in the NFL. Like, this is the week you get to talk about Shador. If there was ever a week that you get to talk about Shador, this is the week. So I don't want to hear any of that stuff this week. That's just, you just sound like you're out of pocket if you do so.
Also, it's the funniest thing in the world that the Browns are 2-8, unwatchable offensively. And I don't know this thing has ever been more interesting. Like, as 2-8 teams go, I'm incredibly interested in the final seven games of the season because there's the Deshaun thing hanging out there. There's Shador Sanders, obviously. There's Kevin Stefanski's future. And even, I mean, there's people. I heard Jeff Phelps today ahead of the Mary Kay Cabot interview where he was like, I think Dylan looked better on Sunday. And I was like, as opposed to, like, at an 11.4 quarterback rating. But again, I think there's a lot of interesting here. It's not good interesting. But again, same thing with Shador on Sunday. Like, I think if we just go, will Shador play good or will Shador play bad? Man, I don't even know how to determine that other than if we just all agree on one stat like QBR or passer rating or something.
We've gotten too many stats is the problem.
Is it the eyeball test?
That's why I'm back to being an eyeball guy. I'm a gut feeling guy. I put my scouting hat on. It says scouting right across it. And then I'm basically John Gruden. What does my eye tell me? And that's how we have to look at these things, Nick. For right now, that's how I have to look at these things.
Just don't release any emails,
just a classic football guy. Yeah. Well, I mean, that comes with the territory of being a classic football guy, does it not?
I don't think so. I think
problematic emails aren't part of the course.
No. I thought
that was part of the deal.
No, maybe that comes with being an older person. Like, I think there's a segment of people who look at emails as something you can just say whatever you want, whenever you want, kind of like Facebook. But I don't know that comes with being a football guy, part and
you
parcel.
You did remind me. I forgot to respond to a 92.3 The Fan listener that sent an email. I'm not like Jeff Phelps. I don't get these all the time. Mm-hmm. And so it was a very long email, but then the email happened before the game, and it was all about like finding out things about Shador, et cetera. And I'm like, well, this email doesn't make any sense anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, the game played, he got in, and now he gets to start. The whole email is just rendered void. Mm. But I haven't responded yet. Apologies to that listener.
Do you agree? Like, I know Ken and Anthony today talked about expectation for Shador. My expectation is he'll be watchable. That's it.
I think watchable is good. I thought their take on it was different than what I was thinking.
All right, so here's Ken this morning on his expectation on what Shador will be on Sunday.
Shador is starting on Sunday. And the first thoughts I had, because I saw him struggle so badly on Sunday, was Fear. I was struck with fear. I'm dreading Sunday. I really am.
I would love it if Shador, if there was some improvement each and every week and, you know, was able to get into a rhythm and maybe he's able to find some cohesiveness with his receivers and Tommy Rees can, you know, figure out a play calling strategy that's going to work with him. But am I counting on any of that to happen? No. I'm expecting it to probably look bad. Not even because I think Shador sucks or anything like that. Like, I didn't think Joe Flacco sucked, and it looked like he sucked. That's why I asked Shador fans last week, are you sure you want him to get in this situation? Are you sure? Because he was a fifth-round pick, and if he looks bad, that could be it for his career.
Oh, no. Then I guess we'll have our answer. Why are we building either of these quarterbacks failing, if that's what happens, to be like... like the greatest Greek tragedy that's ever happened.
Well, so Wima's makes sense from Wima's point of view and where Wima's attacked this thing. So, like, that's fine to me. I understand that. Ken's is the one that throws me off just a little bit. Like, if you believed in Shador, and I got the impression that Ken had the entire time that we were doing this thing, what are you to be scared of on Sunday? Where's the fear coming from? Unless you just think that it's the worst offensive line in the sport and you don't have good enough wide receivers and you could throw Tom Brady back there in his prime and nobody's going to have success. But, like... it's Sunday in a dome against one of the worst teams in football and a team that really doesn't have the defense to be able to scare you. They got Max Crosby, not much else going on there. Like this is the soft launch that you want for Shador.
Also, I think if Shador hadn't played on Sunday and Monday was announced, Dylan Gabriel's in the concussion protocol and Shador's going to start on Sunday, every single person, not part of the hater tribe, whoever that might be, every single person would be like, finally, this is going to be interesting. We get to see it. I think if you say, I'm terrified after a half of football, where the kid hadn't seen any reps with the one ever, I think you're putting too much stock into half a game of football.
I think so as well, because that's the only way you'd end up being scared is if you really took what you saw on Sunday and said, well, that's all he's ever going to be for this season. Maybe he'll get better down the road if he got more time, but this is all he's ever going to be, because there's no sense of fear that I have for Sunday. I'm living in the excitement world, and guess what? If he happens to stink, then okay, fine. He's stunk on Sunday. Life moved on, but I'd rather see him out there have the opportunity, but especially against this really bad Raiders team.
I just think every time somebody massively overreacts in the negative or positive on anything either quarterback does, it's like it's a third round and a fifth round player. The odds of either guy ever doing anything in the NFL were long in the first place, and now you're putting them in as rookies. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I'm not that emotionally devastated if Shador looks like Shaduki, to use the YouTube chat phrase there, on Sunday. Like, as you've said, life will go on. I'm expecting entertaining. If he's good and boring, I'll probably be madder than if he is.
Which doesn't seem possible with him,
like,
by the way.
Mid and unentertaining.
He was awful on Sunday, and every bit of that was exciting. I don't know it's possible for him to be a combination of bad and boring. Unless too many people get in his head, and instead of throwing that pass to Larvadan, he all of a sudden decides to turn into the check down Charlie, because the film guys over the week in Berea were like, hey, and Njoku was there, Judy was there, now we have to do this. But I just don't think that's going to happen.
216-474-0092 is the expectation that Shador won't be good on Sunday. We got quick hits coming up at 2:40. We've got the Peterlin Pass at 3:40. This one's going to surprise you. Jeff D., Lowe of Barstool, a big Cleveland fan, going to be joining us at 4 o'clock today. Albert Breer coming up, MMQB at 5:20. We'll ask him about Kevin Stefanski and Shador, some of the rumors swirling around. Also, 2 weeks till the Michigan game. Well, Albert seems very, very spicy about this game. I don't think he just wants a win this year. I think he wants a whooping. And then Lance Reisland, Cleveland.com, back with us at 6 o'clock today, part of the pregame show, the tailgate show with JP. Of course, we'll get his take on Shador playing. We'll see if Lance agrees that Dylan Gabriel played better on Sunday when he had a QBR of 11.4. Never been more disappointed than Jeff Phelps. But 216-474-0092. And Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin on social media. Social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Is the expectation that Shador won't be good on Sunday? And I actually, guys, there's one part of the Shador-Dylan story we might finally be able to bury. This one I think we can celebrate. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. people are going to leave with their predetermined feelings on Shador.
I'm meatball sports fan now. That's what I am. That's what I want to be in this world. That's what
Johnny
I want.
Johnny Meatball
sports fan. How did it look? Hey, did I go to the bathroom and miss three plays? I guess those three plays don't count. Doesn't matter. How's the eye test?
You know this is not going to work, right?
What's that?
Because you've got A dot, and you've got B dot,
yeah,
and
no,
you've
I
got
know.
C dot.
Yeah, I know, I know.
Is this just for
Carrington Harrison stop by?
We love C dot. Great interview with Jim Nance. I think we played some sound.
That's right. Yes, we did.
I don't buy it. No, I don't buy it. I think
you shouldn't
I think
buy
this
it.
Is
Every
your,
time I've said it, it's been in jest.
I think.
Why would you buy this?
I think.
Did people take me seriously with that?
I think when it comes to, yes.
Only you. No.
Song. However. Yeah, I mean, I think the problem with, unless we establish, like when Ken said, I expect Shador to be bad.
Well, he had fear, and I just don't know how you have fear in this one. That's I'm just very confused by that.
I just don't.
If you believe in Shador in the slightest bit, you shouldn't have fear for this game.
I also just don't understand putting that much fear into a fifth round and a third round quarterback.
It really isn't the end of the world. I mean, if he stinks and then you just find out that maybe he needed a little bit more time, or maybe he needed, maybe this isn't right for him at the moment because the offensive line is so bad and because the receivers are so bad and so many people were always going to stink in this spot, then okay, fine. That is what it is.
Like, to the amount of people that were like, gotcha on Shador, it's like, you didn't get a damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, you're like, the anti-Shador crowd has spent months yelling he's just a fifth-round pick. So if he played like a fifth-round pick, I don't think he really got anyone.
What's funny is that, actually, I had a friend that's a, I'll call a neutral party when we talk about the Shador stuff. Basically, yeah.
Welcome to my country.
They live somewhere in the middle with you. They told me earlier today that they thought the anti-Shador people had become way more annoying than the pro-Shador people.
Yes. I think they.
I mean, both are annoying in their own special way.
So the funny thing is, I'm not annoyed by people individually, whether you do or don't like Shador, but I'm incredibly annoyed at the discourse. Mm-hmm. Like the reps thing is taken over.
Yeah.
Like the oh, he didn't have any reps thing, which again, the whole.
Listen up, football fans! You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crux of the argument, you have to know what one quarterback got and what the other didn't. The whole crux of the argument is Dylan has had extra special preparation to get ready for starting, and then he still looked like Dookie. So that's a problem. When you gave him first-team reps in camp, when you gave him first-team reps in the preseason, when you gave him first-team reps in the regular season, and then he still went out there and looked, at best, that's not great. Whereas with Shador, which again, Joe Flacco was the starter,
mm-hmm.
and with the offense looking poorly, and Dylan got, whether it was 10, 15, 20% of the snaps in practice with the ones.
Right.
That's different than what Shador got, but you know the conversation has turned into, well, I experience every backup quarterback. And literally every backup quarterback, which by the way, the Browns have had like 40 since 1999? I think we should just call every former Browns backup.
Yeah.
Give them a five-second spot. Did you get first-team reps when you were the backup?
And they're probably all going to say no, but that's not the point. It is funny to think
we just need one to say yes.
It is funny to think that they're like, finally, somebody's asking for our expertise. Only we can speak to this, the backup quarterback land. And so you got all these bad backup quarterbacks that are just putting their thoughts out there. That is interesting.
I promise I'm not doing this to then crap on Brian Hoyer, who, by the way, was awesome with the morning boys today. Erase your phrase. Who, by the way, I think is actually doing a great job on his podcast, even though I don't watch it because it's about the godless New England Patriots. Brian Hoyer today weighed in officially on air with the Monoboys about the Shador first-team reps saga.
I'm kind of shocked people don't understand how NFL practices are run and reps are given out, because there is no ones and twos once you get to the regular season, right? There is in training camp. But when you get to the regular season, all the reps go to the starters. And then what happens is, depending on the position, particularly linemen, because they don't want to give them every single rep, the swing guard or the swing tackle may sub in for two or three plays in a 12th play period. But this isn't college where you have 100 and some guys on a team. Like, you can only practice so much, and to give extra reps to a backup quarterback is kind of, when you think about it, like, you're kind of not putting your eggs in the basket of what you think is going to win. And I've lived that in many different scenarios. And so the one thing I would say is people just need to calm down, okay?
And yet again, this is where, like, Brian isn't in town. Brian probably doesn't know this.
Yeah.
The problem is Dylan got those first team reps.
Right.
So Joe Flacco didn't get all the eggs in one basket. Since Dylan has taken over,
you're treating one differently than the other is the obvious takeaway.
And so I think that's why it's the conversation, not just. But I understand if Brian's just hearing the Shahive go absolute crazy about this.
And then he's just trying to inform. Yes. He's trying to be like, hey, this is how this works in the NFL, while obviously not understanding that this is not how it worked here in Berea, and it's not how it worked with the Browns in any stretch of what Stefanski's been trying to do here. Yes, does it seem like he's given favoritism to Dylan Gabriel? Spoiler alert, he has. That's the reality of it. If you actually hooked him up with some truth serum and said, hey, Stefanski, did you ever have any intention of playing Shador Sanders? Maybe that answer is no, but he still was the backup quarterback. And so because you made him the backup quarterback, you were always one hit away from appearing, and he should have at least considered that, and he didn't.
And here's the other thing. Like, I just, because this is where then I go back at the Shahive, when they're like, well, but see, it's unfair. It's like, well, yeah, but that is also how the NFL works.
Right. But
because of Shador, much like the general conversation with Shador, I think it's people arguing with each other that has very little to do with the actual kid.
The problem,
with the parliamentary politics with the Browns organization.
The problem is that he clearly got what I would perceive to be an unfair crack of it all. And then a lot of people made sweeping judgments off of that half of football, which is also incredibly unfair. Now, this week, you can't bring the reps into the equation because he's going to have starting on Wednesday all the reps in the world with the ones, and he's going to have all sorts of opportunity to build up experience with these guys. So, like, that excuse just ceased to exist.
So that, I think, is the silver lining in all of this. When it comes to the reps conversation, when it comes to, like, the Shador playing does allow, one by one, for us to strike down the individual narratives that I think have gotten tedious to deal with. And again, people individually can believe what they want to believe. It's the idea that then the interaction becomes just built up, that it's like, what the hell are we doing? Like, anything that we tweet out on 92.3 The Fan, videos of the show, any of it turns into a conversation that is not the conversation that's being had.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is how social media videos tend to go.
Mm-hmm.
But with Shador, it's just heightened to a different degree. So I, for one, am thrilled that at least this week, the number one thing we can strike down, the conversation we can stop having, is Shador's not gotten any team reps with the first team, because he's going to get them all week long.
Right.
And then him playing on Sunday is an extension of, well, how'd he look after those first team reps?
Do you regret the Shador experience at all?
No. No, because I like the kid. Like, the funny thing is, and you know, like, let's track the argument all, or the experience all the way back to the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You want him with a number two pick. I said no. But, like, 33, yeah, I was probably more open to it. 35, 67, 92. Like, I wasn't exclusively anti-Shador. I just didn't think he was worth the number two pick. So once the kid came here, it was like, all right, well, let's see what he's got. And every time I've just been like, oh, if I just shut out the Shador noise, the kid, and I hate saying it, he's a grown man, but the young man seems like a really good young man. He seems like somebody that you would want to invest in as a human being. And then after watching him on Sunday, he played awful. But I understand why he's in the NFL.
Yeah.
Like, it's tough as a fan to watch Dylan Gabriel play and throw inaccurate 5-yard out passes to the flat and then go, ah, this guy's going to do things. And also, by the way, he also does a lot of other stuff not well. But the point is, it's tough to, like, there's nothing with Dylan that you're like, oh man, like, as a casual fan or as a non-Browns employee that you can really latch on to. With Shador, there's a lot of bad there, or there was a lot of bad there on Sunday. There's also a couple good things I think give you excitement. So no, I don't because well, I think the kid's worth it.
And hopefully we just have an exciting back half of the season and we get to watch him develop. But I do wonder at this point right now how many fans would be like, all the headaches, all the arguments, all the everything, was it actually worth it? Would you throw this all away? If you wish they would have just taken an offensive lineman in the fifth round and just never did anything around Jador. I would argue it's made the season more interesting. I would argue it's made a lot of our conversations a lot more interesting. But I think there's a lot of people that are just like, I'd trade it all away.
Now, would I go back into DeLorean and make sure you didn't draft either guy? That might be more of the conversation. Like, if I could just not talk about two quarterbacks who are third and fifth round quarterbacks.
We do the Joe Flacco into Kenny Pickett and just, yes. Or Kenny Pickett into Joe Flacco, yep. Whatever you wanted to do, and just make that the season?
100%.
Oh, that'd be so boring, though.
And no, it would be. You're right. But at least we wouldn't have that. But again, for there, I'm assuming you're going to use the third and fifth round pick on
tackles or something?
On a Charles Grant.
It's the third rounder thing that gets me with Dylan. It's like if they would have just taken Shador in the fifth round and they had maybe just taken an offensive tackle. There's still good offensive tackles in the third round. A lot of players are playing in the NFL on a consistent baseball. I think I said basement.
Good Lord.
I might have said baseball. But on a consistent basis, there's a lot of them that play in the third round.
216-474-0092.
Nothing worse than stumbling over a point that you really don't even hammer home.
I really like the question, though. Do you regret the Shador and Dylan experience? Let's lump them together. I think I do just because it doesn't feel like you're any closer. Honestly, like where you are through 10 games is where I thought you'd be through 10 games. Where right now, you're like, I don't know if Shador is going to do it. I sure as hell don't think Dylan's going to do it.
When I think the sad part for the Browns, if you end this season and if Shador looks like he did on Sunday for the majority of it, it looks like there's not much promise there. If he looks like that, then you did. You spent a third and a fifth round pick on nothing that's going to help you for 2027 and beyond, 2026 and beyond.
The funniest sound in sports this week has me out on one superstar. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Hey.
All right, so I do believe this to be one of the funniest pieces of sound that you're going to hear this week. This comes from the Hornets game last night, courtesy of FanDuel Sports Network.
LaMelo got his hands on it twice.
LaMelo screaming for the ball, sets a pinnacle. That's how you do it.
I want to play it one more time because you're going to hear it at the beginning. And this is not a rooster being choked to death by Lou Ferrigno.
LaMelo got his hands on it twice.
All right. So LaMelo is screaming in the, I would say, least manly way ever. Ball, ball.
I'd say the zestiest way ever.
I think zesty is a great way to put it. I think I'm out on LaMelo.
That was it?
This is a little too Deion Waiters for me, where Deion was up at the far side of the screen, jumping up and down, doing jumping jacks, trying to get LeBron's attention, and LeBron looked at him like he was an idiot.
Was he saying ball? Is that what he was saying?
No, he was screaming ball, ball. And then, by the way, so he's at like the elbow. He gets the ball, and then he fires it to Con Knipple, who hits a three, but it's like...
Oh, all that for another pass?
Yes, I was like, you just wanted the assist? Like...
Do you think he was a decoy or something? Is that maybe what he thought he was?
I don't. Maybe he thought that the guy who was bringing the ball up, who I could not remember who the heck it was, maybe he thought he couldn't see it. But I'm sorry. You're LaMelo Ball. You should not be screeching, ball, ball. Can we get it just one more time? Just a second of it. Which one?
LaMelo screamed.
LaMelo got his hands on it twice.
I'm sorry. If we go charming or chotch, that is decidedly chotch. I would do it, but I don't want to blow up my voice or hurt everybody's ears.
Give it a try.
No, I don't.
I think you should give it a try.
Oh, oh.
That was a bird.
That was a bird.
Omaha!
You can only point so many times. Eagles insider suggesting that there's consternation with Jalen Hurts. Seth Joyner on WIP in Philadelphia. Here we go.
I work with the Eagles insider. And we had an in-depth conversation last night in our post-game show. And it seems to him that, you know, there's some consternation when it comes to, you know, Jalen, you know, not only in the locker room, but in the organization. And that's problematic because, you know, from the outside looking in, you would never think that.
I think it's interesting that inside the Eagles, apparently, according to this report, there are people that want to get rid of Jalen Hurts. Now, they've added that the financial liabilities that are attached to this just basically makes his contract immovable. Mm-hmm. You're stuck with Jalen Hurts. But it's interesting now we've gotten to this part. While they're riding a 4-game winning streak, mind you, we've gotten to this part where Jalen Hurts, they feel like he is doing more harm than good.
Yeah, this is the dumbest thing in the world. Give me Jalen Hurts. Again, getting back to the idea of I don't know that Jalen Hurts will win a Super Bowl anywhere else, but if the Eagles are going to be this dumb, bring on Jalen Hurts at this point.
I just think it's like this time of the year for them. You know, this is just what they do. They infight. They seem like nothing is ever happy. They are the biggest proof I ever have to the idea that is for as much as we all talk about culture mattering, culture just honestly does not matter nearly as much as we think it does.
A post-June 1 trade.
They argue all the time with each other.
A post-June 1 trade would be $12 million a year cap hit for the Eagles for how many more years? For 2 years and then $7.8 million. A trade pre-June 1 is $32 million next year, $20 million the year after, and then $7 million in 20.
So you have to do the post-June 1 is what you're saying. You can always find a way if you do the post-June 1, it feels like.
Give it to me.
That's the cheat code on this.
You know what? You guys are tired of the success you're having. We'll give you a second rounder for Jalen.
Last year they told him to throw the ball less is essentially what they did. This year Saquon's not even making up for it, and it seems like they're just fighting. By the way, he got freeze-framed like you wouldn't believe. With some of these armchair quarterbacks on Twitter, where they just freeze frame the spot where it seems like there's an open receiver. I saw like seven of those with Jalen.
Did he lose his superpower?
I don't know that he lost his superpower, but a lot of people are now apparently inside the Eagles very frustrated with Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, they should get rid of him, and they should. You really want to punish a guy? Send him to Cleveland. What would the reaction be if you traded for Jalen? Because statistically, he's not having a great season. Although,
no.
Do you know what his INT percentage is?
It's probably really good. He doesn't throw too many interceptions.
It's 0.4.
Yeah.
One is considered holy crap.
But that
good.
Is part of the problem with him right now is he doesn't push the ball down the field, and he's not really throwing the ball deep in any capacity.
I'll still take Jalen Hurts. Omaha! Let's go to the Raiders. Got popped 33-16 on Monday Night Football by the Cowboys, and Geno Smith chest tapped and took the blame for literally everything last night.
I keep saying this, man. If something don't look right out there, blame it on me, right? If it don't look right, blame it on me. That's all you can do. Blame it on me. If your kids mess up at school, blame it on me. Car breakdown going to work, blame it on me.
All right, I kind of like the sound. I like a little bit of the spicy there from Gino. Do you feel better? Do you feel more confident about the Browns' chances to win on Sunday after watching the Raiders play last night?
100%. They looked absolutely awful. I had a couple takeaways from that game, if you'll indulge me.
You did the finger pointing together thing.
I got excited.
This is like if you're like
I got excited. I thought the Mr. Burns like the Mr. Burns hand thing
too
as well.
This is very Clue to me.
I got excited. If you'll indulge, there are 2 points. I don't think you think I'm going to make.
Then you put out your pointing finger.
I do this all the time. It's this that's a little bit different. I do this and this all the time. I'm constantly I'm playing with my hands. I'm pointing.
Easy
I'm
there.
Gesturing. It is what it is.
You know, for back to the
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Coffee strippers.
George Pickens, amazing at football.
Oh, okay.
Hold on. In a way where I would take him in a draft right now over CeeDee Lamb. That was the most athletic looking wide receiver I think I've ever seen in my life last night. We've obviously known he's talented for a very long time. In that game last night, that was as dominating of a performance that a wide receiver can have in a game where you leave being like, I don't know that there's many players in the league that you would take over him at this point, the way that went down and the way that looked. The other thing, six carries, 7 yards for Ashton Jeanty.
And Chip Kelly's making $6 million a year.
What are we doing here, people? Yeah. What are we doing?
Chip Kelly's trying to get fired now. He's trying to get that golden
Chip
parachute.
Kelly, they ran the ball so few. I've never seen a Pete Carroll team throw the ball with like a 35 attempts passing and like six carries when it was all said. I've never seen that out of Pete Carroll.
Who's trying to get golden parachuted more, Pete Carroll or Chip Kelly? Because both of them are like, yeah, I'll take $30 million a year not to coach for the big dummy, Mark Davis, anymore.
I've been waiting to see Dustin Cook for like a week and a half. I just want to tell him that Ashton Jeanty's not what he thought he was.
Mm.
Our sales guy that lived in Boise.
Cook move.
Omaha!
What's next for Jets' Justin Fields? Possible landing spots for the former first-round pick after his benching, because he got benched, obviously. And so now people are starting to come up with names. The interesting part about this, and the teams that got brought up, Nick, it's really all teams that would have him in a backup role. The Steelers get brought up again. I don't know if they're going to bring back Aaron Rodgers. We'll talk about that later in the show. It is what it is. Miami, I guess you'd compete there with Tua. The Chargers, you're definitely a backup. The Vikings, as of right now, is that an open competition between him and J.J. McCarthy? Because if that's what that becomes, then you basically have sunk all the chances of J.J. McCarthy. It feels like Justin Fields to the Browns, if you want him next year, is 100% on the table.
No. And I do think he should do... I honestly do think that...
It's a big setup to see if he wanted Justin Fields or not next year for the Browns.
Yeah. I do think... Please, no. I cannot... I just can't.
You're the guy that's like, oh, bring Tua here. Bring Kyler Murray here.
Yeah, those are both better options than Justin Fields right now.
Bring Mac Jones here. Bring all these other guys here, and you're gonna throw Justin Fields away? Everyone fails with the Jets. Who doesn't fail with the Jets? Aaron Rodgers,
yeah,
Sam
once
Darnold.
Once they fail, we never hear from them again.
Sam Darnold, we're hearing from him. Aaron Rodgers, we're hearing from him.
Okay, shot down that counter argument. The point is, let's go with Sam Darnold here. Sam Darnold went from the Jets to Carolina, immediately went to starting, and stunk. I think maybe Justin Fields could use... I know he was a backup for half the year in Pittsburgh.
We need a buffer team before he can come to the Browns.
But with like, yes, 100%. He needs to go with Shanahan for like a year.
Who's that?
Shanahan. For a year or two, and then I still don't want him.
No. I like your idea of buffer teams, though. you just need a year to hang out, a year to chill. You get the... all right, I'm fine. I'm fine with that. It's going to be a convo, though. We're going to have it at some point.
Cam Scataboo and a few Giants teammates made an appearance on Monday Night Raw last night.
Scataboo is everywhere but the football field at
sitting
this point.
Sitting ringside. He's also got a weird nubbin in his shoulder.
I can't get over. You talked about LaMelo screaming and like you not being able to get over it. Once we heard Scataboo in that podcast, I can't get over
it. On the taco talk?
Oh my gosh, that taco comment.
He just didn't want to be dominated by a taco. But he threw punches at the New Day faction with several of his teammates. If you are the Giants, are you upset with Cam Scataboo this morning?
Why? Wrestling's not real. He didn't do any harm there.
One, mind your business. Two,
it's a stage, is it not? What's the problem? It's orchestrated theater.
Well, there's no
risk of it being not improv. I thought, isn't that the point of improv?
What?
Huh?
All theater is orchestrated. Even improv is orchestrated to some degree.
Okay, but this is definitely orchestrated. And the point is that if it's fake, he's got no risk of actually being injured.
It's not fake. You get hurt. Those are real bumps.
I feel like I'm arguing with that kid in the bleachers and the sixth grader.
No.
Wrestling is real to me.
No.
Dang it.
I when the WWE
those are real,
comes to
those
town,
are real scratches.
We'll connect with Vic Joseph, aka Vic Travigliano, who used to work here, and we're going to get you in a ring, and I want you to take 100 bumps and tell me wrestling is fake.
I don't want to get in a ring. That doesn't sound like a good time to me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, why? You afraid to get hurt?
No, it just doesn't seem like anything I'd be interested in.
Because I think you'd know the truth real quickly.
So you were worried. So the Giants should have a concern about this and this,
yes,
this orchestrated wrestling event.
Yes, the guy's out for the
event.
Season, and the guy's the biggest dum-dum in the history of sports.
Was he actually like jumping over things and doing things? I missed the clip, obviously.
No. It was a Donnybrook, so he got pushed, and then he and the teammates.
Oh, that push is really going to scar him up, isn't it?
Oh, if you think the Giants.
Oh, he got pushed. Oh, we'll shove. Well, Scataboo got shoved. voice. Come on.
Look how shrewd. You got you.
What voice? I'm just saying like I'm doing Saturday night at the Apollo.
Yes. Yes, you did.
You got shrewd.
That's exactly. Yeah. Do it again.
Yeah, okay.
Jax, did you hear it go shrewd?
It was a much different voice than I've ever heard. Yeah,
like a darker
before.
Bill Cosby thing. I don't know what was going on there.
No, it didn't have anything to do with Spanish Fly. That is Quick Hits when we come.
Doing voices with my daughter
back
in the mornings.
Shoved.
And I was turning into
little girl to make me shove.
I thought I was
you.
Doing like a Gabby's Dollhouse thing. It turns out I'm way off. Little Scataboo got shoved.
Shoved.
Little Scataboo got shoved.
Through. The Browns, quarterback purgatory, and the rest of the league in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.